This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Well, alrighty then. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN, all feeling grateful and blessed to be here. I tell you what, we're going to start it off with some news. Penny Hardaway is working. Can't wait to get to that. It's always a good day when you can start it off with Penny Hardaway recruiting news, right? Those have been great days in this city. Feels like it'll be a fun day today. He has struck. Penny Hardaway and Memphis have struck. We'll talk about the man they've added, the first, at least so far, out of the transfer portal. We'd been talking about him. Boy, what a get. Grizzlies get the win. We will talk about that last night. Win number 26, beat the Milwaukee Bucks. More of a statement loss, if you say anything, if I got anything to say about it, for the Milwaukee Bucks, who on back-to-back nights lose to the Washington Wizards and Memphis Grizzlies. They got to be questioning what they're doing, even with them being shorthanded last night. Spring game, just a little bit 2 weeks away for Memphis football. They've got a new John defensive line coach, so rest easy, it sounds like it, reportedly. And the AAC has a new commish, but it's going to be a Tigers recruiting day, it sounds like, John.
Yeah, it is. It usually will be when Penny lands the kind of player that he just landed this morning in Tulsa, freshman guard, P.J. Haggerty. He's not the number one overall transfer like Kendrick Davis was once upon a time, but as of now, over 1,100 players in the portal. He is ranked number 2 by On3, number 16 by 247, and number 17 by CBS Sports. So probably somewhere in the middle, right? I mean, we could just sort of average those out and say that this is basically a top 10, top 12 transfer that Penny Hardaway just landed. And there's a lot to like about it that we'll get into. This is sort of been the running joke, right? After PJ torched Memphis in that meeting for 30 plus, I think it might have been like 27.
27.
Yeah, 27. the running joke was, oh, he'll be a Tiger next year, right? And here it is. It has come to fruition as PJ Haggerty has committed early this morning. News broken by On3. So we will get into that, what that means, mm-hmm. How you should think about it, what you should think about it. And of course, you're free to form your own opinions. Right? You don't have to just, we can't tell you how to think, but we're going to at least share our perspectives on this and how important it is for the Tigers basketball program next year. You know who else got a statement win last night?
Who made a statement?
Because your point is not that the Grizzlies made a statement. It's
correct.
That the Bucks made a statement.
Exactly.
The Suns made a statement last night at home against the Cavs. Donovan Mitchell's back.
Yeah.
They went by 21. Kevin Durant, 32, Devin Booker, 40. And they did not have Grayson Allen, who, you know, they were talking about before the damn game started. Like, I thought they were talking about Kevin Durant. They're like, oh.
He's been good for them.
And this is a big one. This is a big loss for the Suns. I'm looking at the lineups. I'm like, what? Did Devin Booker got hurt in warm-ups or something? Said, Grayson Allen has a hip pointer. I'm like, come on, bro. That's ridiculous. He's a good player, but that it's not worth all that. Anyway, yeah, that was on national television last night. And, you know, I loved the Suns last year. I know you remember I said how I think I said it was like religion or something, some stupid way I put it of watching them. But when they are at their best, they are dangerous. And I feel like that was their best last night. This is their first year without Ayton, right?
Yes.
So maybe, you know, maybe you get Ayton out of town and you can kind of start to unlock a little bit more.
Did my man Thad play?
Did not see Thad last night.
Okay.
Did not. He's a Cav.
Is he not a son?
Is he a son?
I thought we talked about that.
I'm sorry.
I could be wrong. I thought we talked about that with Hurd.
I apologize.
Pretty sure that.
Yeah, he's a son. He did not get in.
Okay.
He did not get in.
Yeah, we talked about this could be the chance for him to make a run. If it goes as you think it might for the Suns, perhaps this will be Thad's chance to make a run as a vet.
You know who
always
did,
wanted
you know,
that for the,
you know who did
for the hometown
in.
Guy.
What's David up? Roddy got in, as did Isaiah Thomas. That Isaiah Thomas.
What did Roddy do?
Oh, he played 1 minute and had one.
Okay, just want to make sure. Just want to make sure.
But
we've moved on. We got wings now.
Yes,
I don't know if you've noticed.
Yes.
Got good wings.
No question. So we'll get into all that today on the show. Hey, Drew Hill is going to join us at 11:25. We'll talk to him about a very peculiar news story that maybe got a little swept under the rug yesterday. I don't know what y'all were doing.
If you'd like to shed some light on that, yes.
John Morant has parted ways with longtime agent Jim Tanner in Tandem Sports and Entertainment. So he is a free agent looking for an agent. Do you know of any?
Sure, I know a few.
Okay.
I guarantee you it's already done.
Oh, you guarantee
he's a free agent.
Done. You're guaranteeing it's
free
done.
Agency period's over. He's done.
It's been amazing.
I'll bet you it's done.
It's been amazing for me to sit where it just in my position and watch everybody speculate and be so god awful
so
wrong.
Okay.
Oh,
and maybe I'll count me among them then.
Clutch. People think he's going to Clutch.
I didn't say that. Not me. I didn't say that.
Why would people think he's going to Clutch?
I don't know, bro. They think everybody go to Bron them.
That's not the way it works.
Sound like somebody's planting this flag.
I'm just saying, you got to have relationships, bro. It ain't just like everybody just wants to be with Clutch. It ain't like they're going to negotiate an extra percentage for you,
somebody
bro.
Talking real confidently on this subject.
I'm just saying, y'all just need to do a little bit more. Do your research, like Aaron Rodgers, okay? Get up on y'all's agents game. Because y'all are slipping. Y'all think everybody just wants to get funneled to Clutch.
Oh, I don't think the majority
not you,
of the fight.
Not
yeah,
you,
again.
I saw a lot of people were like freaking out.
You're talking about
my God, he's going to Clutch. He wants to leave.
Nationally, you saw that?
No, just
okay,
like
locally.
So you think you have like these sort of grizz, cognoscenti, like, you know, little voices, you know, that you kind of just, they don't really have platforms, but they have like followings on, you know. It's like, y'all need to take that metal detector that y'all got on the sand, and y'all need to go put it back where you got it, all right, because it's off. It's off.
See, you're making this pretty clear.
I'm just saying, it's off.
You couldn't be making it any more clear.
No, we'll talk to Drew Hill about it at 11:25 and get his thoughts on what that could mean. Grizzlies win last night. Jason's sportsbook might have had a sharp play last night. That was a sharp number you had.
I don't even want to talk about it.
Why don't you want to talk about it? You got it right. I told you I wasn't betting the Grizzlies on principle. Mm. Not that I didn't agree with your thesis.
It's emblematic of your lack of trust in your partner these days.
Bro, I have been burned by this non-competitive.
That's all it was. I told you, but trust me on this one, and you didn't, and that's it. And we're moving
that's
on.
That's it?
I tried to tell you.
Well,
all I was frustrated.
Don't act
could
like,
have made me, what, $9 yesterday?
Bro, I'm pretty sure you have FanDuel
and
over there on that
phone. And I keep the
9,
you keep the 10 or whatever. Maybe I'll give you an extra couple bucks. It would have worked out.
I'm fronting it for you.
John, should have got him on the money line.
Yeah, now that would have been a call. That would have been a hell of a call.
Go Grizz.
That probably would have been 10-1 at least.
I'll tell you, it's Brandon Clark. It's fun watching him for these last few games. He looks good.
Yeah.
So did Jaren. Jaren finished it off.
Yes, he did. No question about it. And the Bucks are just in shambles. I mean, they were talking about that on the Suns broadcast. They were like, how do you lose to the Grizzlies at home after losing to the Wizards? And it's a fair question.
You've turned me against Doc.
Oh, Doc.
Because now I watch him.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, I just hear your voice. I see failure.
Yes.
And last night, he had the nerve to be smiling during that.
Mm.
Acting like it's a mess.
It is.
They are going to do nothing this year. We'll check back in next year with the Milwaukee Bucks. Mark it down.
Exactly. So anyway, we'll get into that. With Drew Hill at 11:25. Then at 1:25, Jeff Calkins will hop on the show,
as
always. This is a normally, sometimes, you know, in the course of a week, right, people have so many things going on. They got this, they got that, they have to move, you know, and this is one of those weeks where everybody on Thursday is in their rightful place. So Drew Hill at 11:25, Jeff Calkins at 1:25. So that is the show today. But we need to start with what Penny Hardaway has pulled off in the transfer portal, landing Tulsa freshman guard P.J. Haggerty, one of the best. He was the was he the freshman of the year?
Correct.
He was the freshman of the year in all of college basketball.
In the American.
Oh, the American. He wasn't in the, all of college basketball? I guess not.
If he's that, it's an eye-opener for me.
Okay. I mean, I just felt like I guess
Reed Shepard to the next level.
My bad. I'm trying to.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some other ones in terms of AP freshman of the year.
Bro, I'm sorry.
Just calm down, John.
I'm sorry. He's the AAC freshman of the year. He is the best player ever. All right, I don't want to get out of turn here, but no, unanimous AAC freshman of the year, 21.2 points a game, which is good for 15th in America, 3.8 assists, 5.5 rebounds a game. So very, very good player. Mm-hmm. I don't know who even was on his list. I don't know if we ever saw one.
Oh, it's in the On3 story. Providence. There's a couple of more on there.
Providence.
Yeah. Providence was one of the ones he said he chose. He told On3 that he picked Memphis over.
Where the hell are the Kentuckys and the Kansases of the world?
It wasn't those.
Interesting.
I see that forms your opinion.
Well, kind of. I mean, I'm not going to go crazy with it one way or the other, but I would have liked to know, who.
Yeah, that list is, he told On3 who, it was like three schools.
It was Texas, Kansas State, and Providence. Okay, I mean, there you go. I mean, that's.
Tang,
Terry, English.
Mm-hmm.
That's who Penny Hardaway beat out, and if it was those four, I would have picked. I assumed the competition would be a little steeper.
Well, I assume he got contacted by a bunch of folks, mm-hmm. and that he had narrowed it down to those four. I don't know how serious it got with the other three. Sound like this right. happened pretty quickly,
right? Yeah. Yes. So Memphis strikes, as you said.
I mean, what was it? To go back to the original credit, what was it? 2-3 days ago that Hitman Hoop said. Interest,
yes,
mutual interest.
Mutual. Yes, yes, yes.
I mean, he was the first to actually put it out there and actually report it. So, shout out to him. And then On3, obviously, with the news today.
And I was skeptical, right? I got to tell you, I was skeptical that Memphis would be able to get P.J. Haggerty just because.
Well, he's number two on
right.
On3's list
exactly.
of transfer portal guys.
And
he's a little lower on other lists.
Is Penny going to be able to do this every single year? You know, you especially after you missed the tournament last year. That was kind of where I was coming from. And he did it. And he gets P.J. Haggerty, who we've been talking all, off-season and the early throws of the off-season about what Memphis needs to do and the kind of player that they need to have. Not only do they need to have good players, but they need to have guys who can be here, for more than a year. And P.J. Haggerty is exactly that. He's a redshirt freshman. He's a redshirt freshman. Got tons of eligibility left. Now, not saying he's going to use that, and he can transfer again. Right, he doesn't have to. It's not just Memphis or NBA. The way it works now in NCAA is they can't restrict you from transferring a zillion times. I think they're in court about that right now, and I think there's a TRO on it. So as long as that's the case, kid can transfer 55 times if he wants to, and keep his eligibility. But it's a great start. It's a great start for what Memphis needs to build here under Penny Hardaway. 6'3", 195, really well put together. If you're gonna poke a hole in his game, it's definitely the 3-point shooting, 29%. But really does everything else well. I mean, 49% from the field, 77% from the stripe. We talked about the rebounds and assists. And he's a redshirt freshman, so he's gonna get better. So I think Jason, this is if you want to have a start in the portal, I think it's probably harder. It's hard to do better than this at this moment than P.J. Haggerty.
Just remember to go back to the game against Memphis. It wasn't just the 27 points. He had 6 rebounds, 4 assists, only had 2 turnovers in the 38 minutes he played in that game, and also 3 steals. Let's keep in mind here, Javon Quinterly wasn't much on the defensive end. And so if you could have a P.J. Haggerty type up top, and I'm not saying he has to be your point guard, but my point is a sort of point of contact man defensively. And, again, when it comes to whether it's playmaking, steals, P.J. Haggerty, the scorer, he fills up the stat sheet, plays a lot bigger than 6'3". Okay, had 32 in that last game against South Florida. I think that last game of the season where they beat South Florida, Johnny, had 32 in that one. Went over 20, like 19 times this year. So this is a guy who can fill it up. But more importantly, play a little bit of defense for you, too. That's the other side of this. Let's talk. I mean, that's what you lost last year. Some of that identity and guys who wanted to get down, get in lanes, those kinds of things. P.J. Haggerty with that length is a guy who can be I'm not going to say is as much a difference maker defensively, but he's got to certainly make plays for you defensively in a way that you didn't have, John, this year. And that's, again, part of what was lost this year. Defensively, you drop down to the sub-100s. You'd never been there under Penny Hardaway. It's a huge – it's a big get. It's a good start, though, because here's the other part of this, and it's true. We've seen great lineups on paper. We've seen great lineups on paper last season go 15-2, number 10 in the country. It all falls apart. Roster construction the rest of the way will still be key. But I'll tell you this, if it's P.J. Haggerty and David Jones, that's a hell of a 1-2 punch. It's a hell of a start.
No doubt.
On having to replace, 9-10 guys on this roster.
Exactly.
And it gives you a little bit of continuity, obviously, with David Jones. And then back to John's point, P.J. Haggerty, this is what we've talked about. You want multi-year transfers. And so hopefully P.J. Haggerty's a guy that, who knows? I mean, as talented as he is, maybe he could jump after next. But my hope would be you've got a guy for a couple of years here. And let's remember, I mean, Penny, with guards, whether it's been the guys that are head of the NBA, the Quentin Grimes or whatever else, he's typically been good with lead guards. Again, Javon Quinterly last year was up and down. I mean, that's on the resume. But whether it's been, Kendrick Davis or training these guards to be point guards in the league, I mean, Quentin Grimes has got a lot to work with.
Yes,
I mean, what are we talking about? He's the best freshman in the AAC last year by far.
Absolutely. So, look, I think
he was freshman of the week 14 of 18 times last year.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. There was him, and then the rest of the freshman class in the AAC.
Right. So it's an undeniably, and I think it's important to sort of keep these things separate. Right. It's an undeniably massive pickup for Memphis because of how good this young man is.
Well, because of how much you need, too.
Yeah, how much you need, how good he is, how he's in your league and he's dominated, right? Like, this has actually been really good for Penny in the past. I don't know how many times he's done it, but picking up, like, Jordan has worked. Kendrick Davis, we know, he picked up right where he left off.
Jalen Young, no.
Jalen Young's the only one, right? He did not, but he didn't really have much of a role, and I guess that may go into it a little bit. So he was a miss. But you're 67%, which you would take, right? So you expect, because he's already been terrorizing this league, he'll come over to what you're building, and he'll do the same. With that being said, the tenor is different. It is different. If you sort of just compare how we might have reacted to this in 2020 – versus today, it is different. It's more muted, and I just think it has to be. I think you can be excited about the start. You can be excited about the pickup, and you should be, because it beats the hell out of the alternative. Don't get me wrong, right? Like, you don't want to be in a situation where you're picking up, guys that average 5 and 6 a game in this league. You'd rather get the guy that dominated, right? I think that says a lot about where you stand and what your reputation still is in this league, that you can get a guy like that. But the other side of that, too, is I think it has to be curbed. I think you're just wise to curb, because there's still so much, Jason, as you know, that has to be played out. What's David Jones going to do? Are you going to have to replace him? Because that's a huge loss if you are. And there's still so many other pieces that have to be picked up, and we still have no way of knowing how it will all fit together. And it's best to just sort of not try to speculate there, because we end up putting our hand on the stove and being wrong more times than we're right. So, again, in a vacuum, great job, great pickup, but still so much left to play out before really we can form an opinion about what this team will look like.
Well, the important part now is the how he – watch the way he fills the rest of it out. Are we going back to 2 years ago where there was a clear 1-2 and you had role guys and players who you knew what they were going to do for you, all behind Kendrick Davis and DeAndre Williams, and you didn't have to worry so much about chemistry and everything else? And I realize, end of the tournament, it finishes off in a way you didn't expect, but all year long, what did we not hear about chemistry? Guys knew their roles because they fell in behind Kendrick and DeAndre. If the plan is to have P.J. Haggerty and David Jones back, you're done in terms – I'll put it this way. you could go back to 2 years ago and say, you know what, from a scoring standpoint, and yes, you got to have a big and everything else that could be a threat. But my point is, maybe you need to go back to 2 years ago where you know, again, 1-2, boom, boom. I mean, you're talking about two guys averaged over 20 points a game, and not so much, hey, we still need a guy that averaged 21 over here and took the most shots over here and the most shots over here like you did last season. So, again, it feels like there's two ways you could go here. And, again, this is assuming Memphis's plan is to have Haggerty with David Jones. That's still up in the air. David Jones has said it. If I get a number from the NBA, I'm gone. But if you've got those two, again, maybe what you need to do is go back to what you did 2 years ago. Now go get the role players. Go get the bigs that are going to be rebounders.
Elijah McCadden.
Go get guys that are locked in on playing defense for you rather than more scorers. I think that's the crucial part here, because you got to hope. You know what Memphis's hope is that they get David Jones back. Well, damn. Now you got two of the best scorers in the AAC on the same team together. You don't need a ton more in terms of guys that come in here from other programs, you know, and were their leading shot guys. Again, it's interesting because, you know, where'd Ivy Curry go, John? The UTSA kid I was telling you about earlier.
Virginia Tech.
See, and my understanding is there was some interest there on the Ivy Curry side in Memphis, okay? But that was sort of, nah, we're good. And again, that's not saying Memphis could have had him or whatever else, that Ivy Curry would have landed there. But my understanding was there was interest on his side of things, not on Memphis's. And it led them to believe that, okay, they think they're good. Remember, Ivy Curry's a guy who shot taker.
Right.
And perhaps the plan is now, you know what, rather than go get all these guys that were their number one shot takers at these schools, we're going to go more like we did 2 years ago, fill in the top, you know, put a guy next to David Jones, and then go fill in the rest with role players, again, guys that will help contribute to the identity we've got to get back, particularly defensively. So that's the key to me now. And you're right, John, we should temper it. Because, that, you know, you go off again, you get all these shot takers and everything else, who knows? That's the key now is you got to make the puzzle fit better than it did last year.
And that's really the hard part.
That's the key.
He's great.
The key now.
Talent, 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 talent.
Been doing it since the Peace Jam days, John, yes. EYBL. But, and coming off last year, nobody knows it more than Penny. I've got to fit it together better. And let's be real. The better experience was 2 years ago when it was bang, bang, Kendrick, DeAndre. Y'all, the rest of y'all fall in line. And it happened naturally.
Yes.
You know? So, you know, that's the key to me now is that are we going to see sort of more of that approach?
Right.
And particularly, again, if there was an opportunity to go out and get a guy like Ivy Curry who shot the mess out of it against Memphis, he was another one of those AAC guys we joked around and said, Penny might want to make him a call. Well, if in this case you said, nah, maybe again that's the plan is we'll do less of that, what we did last year, and more of 2 years ago.
Right. So, anyway, yeah, I wrote about it yesterday. I said, you know, Penny needs his Seth Hennigan, the guy that will be here for a couple of years.
And it'd be great if you have Haggerty for a couple of years.
And oof. You give yourself a chance now.
I mean, that's what we've said you need, you know, to build that continuity. If you're going to, you have to go transfers when you have to replace this many. Well, having some multi-year guys, the key to, you know, getting it restored to what you want.
Exactly.
Some continuity defensively.
Exactly. So a good start, no doubt, for Memphis in the portal. We'll come back. We'll talk to Drew Hill about the Grizz last night. John Morant, as he's looking for a new agent. Lots more to come. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Sports calendar's loaded. And FanDuel's making it even more exciting to get in on the action, because right now new customers get $200 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $200 you can use to bet the tourney, Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, and so much more. So there's lots of opportunities, again, to find that winning $5 bet that's going to unlock that $200 in bonus bet. You can go on a spree. So visit FanDuel.com/JSmith. Make your first bet a big one. Again, FanDuel makes it easy. FanDuel.com/JSmith. That's the promo code. We thank you. It's only on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook and official sports betting partner of 92.9 FM ESPN. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bet that expires 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
789
92.9 FM ESPN. I'm wondering if your love still
covers the Memphis Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. He's a fill-in host here on the station, usually during the summer. And he joins us every Thursday. He's here now. Hello, Drew. How are we feeling, buddy?
I'm great, man. How about yourself?
Roll Tide Roll. I mean, you guys really are you happy that they're having travel, or that they had travel issues, or are you upset that they're having travel issues and they will now find a way to spin this into motivation?
Does not matter to me. Honestly, you know, it was funny because I remember we came on here and I said wrongly that I thought North Carolina would blow them out, right? And then Jeff, I was listening to Jeff's show in the morning, and Jeff was like, see, that's just a defense mechanism. He doesn't want to be set up for a disappointment. But, like, seriously, though, the math, like, all of it, the defense, like, that is a matchup where Alabama kind of needed a perfect storm to win. And they've kind of just gotten that the whole tournament, and it's amazing. Like, I never thought that they would be in this spot. And I just remember when I was in school there, like, Avery Johnson used to come by the dorms. True story. Like, Avery Johnson used to come deliver pizza at, like, academic buildings and, like, fraternity and sorority houses and beg people to come to basketball games. And when I went on my tour there for the first time, when I was considering going to school there, you know, they put you on, like, a shuttle bus and they drive you around the campus. And the first thing they do is drive you right down the main boulevard of the university, right up to Bryant-Denny Stadium, and they show it off like this big, shiny thing. And then they drive you around, and then, you know, I remember being on the bus, and they were like, oh, yeah, and the basketball arena's back there, you know, somewhere. Like, it was just, like, such an afterthought, such a second fiddle at that point, like, to see what it's become now. It's all gravy at this point, man. Like, if they lose by 25 points, yeah, house I don't care. Now. Doesn't matter. I mean, it was house money when they made the Elite Eight. Now it's just it's amazing. I mean, it's amazing what they've done with the program. And it's funny, like, you know, I'm obviously getting married next weekend, which will be I'm really looking forward to it. And I remember during this wedding planning process that my fiance, we knew we were getting married in the fall because of Alabama football. There will certainly be a lot of Alabama grads at my wedding. So we knew that was off the table. Summer was too hot. She didn't want to do summer. So we landed on the spring. We said, all right, we're going to get married right before potentially the NBA playoffs so that that'll be done. That won't interfere. But we're going to do it in the spring. And so the dates we were looking at were the 6th and the 13th. And she wanted to do the 6th initially. And when I figured out that was going to be during the Final Four, I said, absolutely not. I don't think I'm going to be able to keep some of my friends off of their phones during the Final Four. And, oh, my God, I mean, had I known Alabama was going to be in the Final Four, we have completely avoided disaster on that front. Because no one would give a single crap about us getting married if Alabama was in the Final Four. So it's just funny how it works out. But it's awesome, man. I'm looking forward to watching it. I don't care what the result is. It as you said, Jason, it's house money at this point.
It totally is. And I will say one of the things that I've really enjoyed and found some hilarity in is like the trash talk between UConn basketball fans and Alabama basketball fans. Like, you have, like, Mr. Hotballs there on UConn Twitter. And you can just tell, like, basketball is a new thing for Alabama fans, you know? Like, it's not like they've been prepared for Final Four stages in this moment. And it's almost like Alabama fans are flustering UConn fans with, like, their their lack of experience in this moment. And so it has been a little bit of a sideshow. I don't know if you've seen any of this exchange, but, you know, look, Alabama fans aren't as brushed up on their history, you know, and that's to be expected. We're not talking about SEC football, but it's clearly flustering UConn a little bit. And so I think it's like the game within the game is pretty damn hilarious, Alabama and UConn.
I will also say you've got to give – Alabama fans a little bit of credit. Like, they do have, like, the basketball base. It may not be that big for Alabama, but it's pretty strong. You got to give them a little credit too. They're leaning into it. Like, you can tell that they're leaning into it, that they know it's like, oh man, I really hope Alabama wins this game. And then UConn fans are just livid. They're just so mad. They're like, no, we're blowing it. This isn't even going to be close, you know, whatever. And they're like, hey, figure out ball. You know, you don't know ball. You know, we know ball down in Tuscaloosa, and they hate it. I mean, I'm seeing it. It's just so funny. Like, you can totally play it up and be like, dude, like, we've been a basketball school all along. I don't know what you guys are talking about. And UConn fans are so on edge and so, like,
they are
mad at the world that it doesn't take much.
I mean, it would be the inverted, right? It would be like if UConn football was playing Alabama in the playoff. You know, it would. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It would be the exact opposite. You know, so it's like, I don't know. I've enjoyed, like, the exchanges, and I just hope that it's a competitive game, man. So congrats. It's a good feeling. That's one that you can't take away. Even if they vacate it down the line, they still can't take it away, Drew.
I don't know what rules there are to break. You know, there's no rules, so screw it, you know.
Drew, Grizzlies get the win last night, 111-101. You wrote about it over at DailyMemphian.com. How about calling 13? Jaren Jackson, I will say this. Here's me holding up my hand. When he got to 65 games, I said, okay there, young blood, we can reel it on in now. We can, you know, and to Jaren's credit, doesn't look like he's thinking about that last night, that 35-point effort where he's baking Brook Lopez at the end of the game.
I mean, it was one of his best performances of the season.
Yeah.
I know he's had more points than that, but, like, it was the manner in which he did it that was so impressive. He did it with power. He did it with finesse. He did it on both ends of the court. I mean, all of that. I mean, he hit the dagger three late in the game. I loved the ode to Ja with the call 13 celebration there at the end. Like, that was really fun. And, again, it's just nice to have fun moments in a season that's been pretty crappy overall. And to your point on, like, just pack it up. I actually wrote about this morning. I don't think that it's out yet. I think it should be out any minute now. It's just interesting to me, and I'm curious how you guys sort of view it, because if you're a Memphis fan, you're kind of hoping history repeats itself, right? Because back in 2019, the Grizzlies, obviously they had dealt Marc Gasol. He was gone off the team. Everybody thought Mike Conley was going to get traded. He wasn't traded. They won 7 games in March and didn't really lean into the tank. And then they were rewarded when Ja Morant fell into their lap, the number 2 pick. And you know what? The Pelicans didn't tank either that season. They ended up winning the Zion Williamson sweepstakes. Now, this year, when you look at what's happening, you know, Toronto, I mean, my God. I'm not trying to be insensitive here, because R.J. Barrett's brother died, and obviously that had a role on him not playing in, like, 8 straight games, and I understand that's very sad. But then he comes back, and, like, he's already doing injury maintenance the second game after having a month off of not playing basketball, you know. Emmanuel Quickley has missed 6 games for a family matter. Scotty Barnes isn't playing. Jakobodo isn't playing. Like, they have 100% leaned into this tank thing.
Keep the pick.
Way more than the Grizzlies have.
Yeah.
You know, they've lost 15 games in a row, and the only 2 games that were remotely competitive were games against Washington and Portland. And so, like, what the Raptors have done is, like, borderline shameful, in my opinion. But they've leaned into it way more than the Grizzlies have, and the impact of this is, like, you know, 5%, right? You'll have a 5% better chance of moving up into that top 4 than the Grizzlies will be, because you decided to bomb your season in the way that you have. Because I don't think the Grizzlies are catching them at this point. Right. Are you okay with this? Like, are you okay with the Grizzlies being fine with still winning these games, still saying, hey, we're going to get a good draft pick? Do you want the karma on your side? Because clearly the Grizzlies are going for the karma play, and it worked out for them once. Isn't going to work out for them again.
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you just got to get Trey Jemison and Jordan Goodwin and, you know, Gigi Jackson, these meaningful fourth quarter moments, you know, for their for all of their huge roles that they will play in the NBA Finals. You know, that's what they tell me. I think I had to say that. I mean, look,
don't blame Toronto, though, Drew, because it's top six protected. So they've decided, right, we want to try to keep the pick and we're going to do everything possible. Now, where I agree with you is that, you know, that year I think the Grizzlies jumped up. They get two. They were, what, in the eight spot, somewhere around that. And I think if it had dropped back, you can go remind me. They were going to have to convey it. And so they were, unlike Toronto, it didn't seem like they were trying to lose every single one of them so they wouldn't have to convey. But, you know, Toronto's trying to keep the pick. And then for the Grizzlies, no, man. I mean, at this point, you got the cushion. It doesn't look like you're going to drop back to eight. So if you win a couple, you can't blame them. And you're right. If karma's on your side because of that, hell, that's a good thing.
Hey, maybe this is the sweet spot, you know? Like,
exactly.
Golden State had their gap year where a bunch of their players were hurt in 2020. And you know what they did? They packed it up right away. They were 15-50 that year. Just total misery.
I'd forgotten how bad that was.
By far the worst. I mean, they just said, screw this. Like, we're done. Like, right away. And that was, like, tanking in its purest form that season for Golden State. And they ended up still with the number two pick. You know who they drafted? James Wiseman. Didn't work out.
Still won a title.
Still won a title afterwards. Yep. Like, that's the hope for the Grizzlies, is right? Like, all right, we're still going to be a contender, competitive team next year, no matter where this draft pick lands and no matter what we do because of who we already have. But the truth is that the Grizzlies need a player more than the Warriors needed a player back in 2020 to put them over the top.
Agreed.
And so maybe this is a sweet spot. You know, you're definitely not actively out there trying to win every game because you'd be playing more players than the Grizzlies are. But you're also not actively bombing your season in the manner that Toronto or Golden State did. You're going to have some good karma on your side. Now make the right pick, Zach Kleiman. You know, make the right pick, and you're in good shape.
We are, of course, talking to Drew Hill, covers the Memphis Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. All right, so there was some news yesterday. Ja Morant is dropping his agent. He's parting ways with his agent, Jim Tanner, who he's been with since he was a rookie of Tandem Sports and Entertainment. What is the significance of that, in your opinion?
I don't think there's much significance to that, to be honest with you. Obviously,
and tell us where he's going.
I'm not gonna tell you where he's going. not going to do that. I don't expect that it's going to happen right away. Okay. I would guess that there's going to be a little bit of a break here. I think they're actually, I don't know if there's league rules on this, but I think there may be where you can't sign right away with a new agent when you drop your agent. Anyway, I think that this is something that I guess had been in the air for about a year now. Like, stuff that you hear could be a possibility. Ja is on, let's put it this way, because I know everybody reacted by saying, like, he's a Laker, whatever. You see all the Lakers fans jump onto Twitter and act like that. He's on the first year of a five-year deal with the Memphis Grizzlies, a max contract with team control at the end of it. I do not suspect whatsoever that this is the type of move in which he's making it because he's wanting a change of scenery or anything like that. Like, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense with the deal he signed. It doesn't make sense, you know, with the current situation that he's in. Like, none of that really makes a ton of sense when you just look at the big picture here. Is this a move in which he wants an agent that may be a little bit more in the forefront in terms of deals and public perception and all things like that? Perhaps. I mean, you know, clearly there's a reason he wanted to move on from his agency, and they made that split, and I hope he's able to find whatever he needs in whatever agent he may have next. Who knows? Maybe could be one of the big names. Could be a big name Memphis. Could be a big name elsewhere. I mean, I would probably guess that it will be one of the more famous agents out there, then, just because Ja is that level of player.
Right. Well, look, I think the people are not quite on the scent, but maybe eventually they'll get hip to it. I will ask, like, when Ja was going through what he and kind of still is going through what he's going through, you know, Isn't the role of the agent, it takes on a new form, doesn't it? I mean, it's not just, hey, I'm going to negotiate, your contracts now. Now it's like, you need somebody who can sort of, counsel you and guide you and take you through. And I think maybe that could be at sort of the heart of this, is maybe that Jim Tanner's not a, he hasn't been through the things that Ja has been through, right? And you want to be around people that have. And I think that's where, an agent's job is pretty easy when you're just negotiating contracts for Ja Morant, dude. Jason, you and me could all get in a room with the Grizzlies and do that.
I was going to say, boy, wish I could. I wish I could negotiate Ja's contract. You walk in there and say, all right, so we're doing the max deal, right?
That's right, exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
But it's good. Let's get it written down.
It's a little, the equation's a little different now, though, right? I mean, so you would think that, and I think that my sense is that's kind of what Ja is looking for here, is somebody that can, sort of, not that he needs rehabilitation, so to speak, but just someone that can help him sort of as he starts this chapter, this new chapter of his career and guide him a little bit better.
I don't know if it's even necessarily that, as much as it's like, expansion in terms of opportunity here, because I think it's there's probably just like a philosophical difference on what he wants from his agent versus what is currently being provided. I mean, that's typically what it comes down to. But Ja is one of the most famous people in the world. He is one of the most recognizable basketball players in the world. I can't imagine the type of sponsorship deals and partnerships that are coming across, the desk every single day for whoever his agent may be. And an opportunity to expand those sort of those sort of things has obviously got to be pretty important to him. And all of that, of course, impacts his image and the way that people view him. And so he probably just wants the best person that he views representing him in that manner. Because, again, on the basketball court, he's a superstar at every level. And it was a shame that he lost out on a payday because he didn't make an All-NBA team as a result of, the Instagram video. And I'm sure that hurts. And so now, there's got to be an effort to make sure that everybody understands who the real Ja is, not the kid that made the mistake, but somebody who's doing his best to fix it. And that's what he wants everyone to see. And so he probably just wants the best person out there to do that, and to also just handle the day-to-day grind of being an agent for a superstar of that level.
Drew, on another subject, what if I told you that the 2024 Chicago Bears would have in the receiving room DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and Washington receiver Romeo Odunze in the same receiving room? What kind of visions would that conjure up for you if they take him at number 9?
Yeah, that would be awesome. I mean, I think that I would be – it's either him or Dallas Turner. Like, those are the guys. Obviously, Dallas Turner is an Alabama guy, but I just think he's extremely talented and is going to be an awesome pass rusher. I think that that's the direction that the Bears need to go. I think if you had those three receivers in the same room with Caleb Williams, you're really setting that guy up for success. If you can't get it done, there's really no excuses there. And there's no excuses for Ryan Poles if Caleb Williams is not the guy in that situation. So I would be all on board for that, man. I think that would be awesome. I love the versatility of Odunze, I think is how you say it. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, that's it. Odunze.
I think, watching a few of his games at Washington, he'll be able to play anywhere on the field. So obviously that's very exciting. And then, you've got a guy in Keenan Allen that's going to be able to do all the underneath stuff for you. So, man, you've got some real weapons
loaded
on that offense, if that is the case. You just hope Caleb Williams can put it where it's supposed to go.
I'm starting to think you or John can put it where it's supposed to go. With that, it's like Brock Purdy going up in there. What are we talking about?
We're negotiating Ja's contract together. We're throwing the ball to Keenan Allen together.
We got DeAndre Swift, too. It's going to be easy for whoever you put in there, Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams.
I mean, I think
this thing's getting crazy.
I'll be honest. I'm starting to it's gone a little too off the rails here, Drew. I mean, we can't go from 7 wins to 12. I think that's a hell. I guess maybe you could.
I'm just scarred. I'm scarred, Jason. Like, I don't think I'll ever have faith until I see it. You know, seeing is believing for me with this Bears team.
That's not the way it works.
Drew, they're saying no number one quarterback has ever had a better situation.
Wow.
That is true. Yes. I mean, you got three running backs. Forget just DeAndre Swift. You know the deal. There's a possibility you got three number one receivers out there. You got two tight ends with Kmet and Gerald Everett. What situation has been better? John and I discussed Luck when he had Reggie Wayne coming in there, but this is, if you get Rome, either way, if you don't, you got two number ones on each side in Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. I mean, this is a ready-made situation. Come in here and shine.
Would you trade a first round pick to get up to five to get Rome? Because I saw the Athletic's latest mock.
No. Hell, at that point, if you're going up, you may as well you take Malik or hell, maybe even take a stab at one of the other ones. I'm with you.
There's three good ones. So right. If you get
Malik
any of the
neighbors,
three,
right,
and you're then, feeling good.
Right, you're feeling good. I'm telling you, man, it's the dawn of a new era, Drew. I'm excited. You can feel it in my voice.
I'm
Get
glad
excited.
You're excited. I like it. I like the enthusiasm.
It's
I need
different.
It.
Yeah.
I need it because I just I'm always like I think Mitch Trubisky was the one that broke me, man.
Scarred
like,
you the most.
Tough.
Yeah, I understand
it's
it.
Tough. Like Fields experience was fun at times, but in the end, it was obvious it wasn't going to work out.
I get it.
But man, I don't know. I'm just I don't want Caleb Williams too, just because. Here's the thing. Like, he has a lot of haters, right? Caleb Williams has got a lot of haters.
Yeah, John's one.
And if he falls flat, it's going to be more painful because of that versus everybody loving Justin Fields, basically, from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It will motivate him.
Hey, real quick before he lets you get out of here, Memphis basketball landed P.J. Haggerty from Tulsa. No, I mean, Drew covers college basketball. He was at the –
That man is an NBA writer.
Bro.
PJ is beneath him.
I mean this respectfully. He's got time to cover other things this year, right? He's not.
Bro, Jaren is hooping, and so is Gigi Jackson.
He is not.
Did you see Brandon Clark last night?
He's not immersed in game-to-game coverage.
Drew, I'm sorry. John's bringing you PJ Haggerty
news. Listen. I've been writing other stuff. I mean, if you've been paying attention, I did a Tigers column.
You went to Nashville.
AutoZone Park column.
SEC.
Yeah. I went to Nashville. I think that this is a good start. For sure, for Penny Hardaway. What I like the most about it is that he's a player that has several years that he can play in the program, right? Like, that's important. That's definitely important for Penny. Can you bring him on campus and keep him? If that's the case, then I think that's a really good start. We talked about him having to find the balance. You know, it's going to be hard to do this year, frankly, because there has to be so much roster turnover. There's not guys that he can really bring back outside of David Jones at this point. So this is the type of guy that you need. You need to bring in, and then you need to keep him. And then 2-3 years down the line from now, he's still a good player for you. I think it's a good start for Penny.
Yeah, it certainly is that. Drew, appreciate the time.
Thank you,
as always, dude. Thanks.
Bear down.
Yeah. See ya. Bear down.
He is Drew Hill, covers the Grizzlies and other things for the Daily Memphian.
I'm ready to start getting serious around here about the.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's
Bears.
Possible to go from.
This ain't some dream.
What'd y'all win?
Look what
was it seven last year? Yeah, they went from three to winning a playoff.
You saw the defense after the Montez Sweat trade. This you could easily have a
right.
Texans type situation. It wouldn't even be that because the Texans were going from dog ish,
mm-hmm.
understand, to playoffs last year. Whereas with you, you're going from seven wins to possible, what, 10? Could you add three more with Caleb Williams, maybe one of the best offenses in the league? Absolutely, you could. I'm telling you, we're going to make some more Bears fans in Memphis this year. You want to jump on to something that's hot?
Right.
Maybe hot pink with Caleb Williams coming in the fold?
You're right. Yeah. I mean, it could be. It could happen. I mean, you could definitely have a transformation like that. It's happened in the NFL. It's tough in that division, though. You know, I mean, I guess Sam Darnold may not be.
I already gave you all the playoff teams for next year. Three will come out of the North.
Yeah, so we'll touch on that. Lots more to come here on the show. Jeff Collins is going to join us at 1:25. Stick around, Jason and John. I'm trying to find ESPN.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.